Welcome back, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I'm happy to welcome Ronald and Philip Kinsella. Ronald is a writer, artist, and host of radio show Twin Souls, along with his identical twin brother, Philip, which is part of the Paranormal UK Radio Network. They've been studying UFO subject for many years. Philip is also an award-winning medium and has appeared on national television and international radio. He has authored various books and many articles, not only on UFOs, but also aspects of the afterlife. Ronald and Philip, welcome. How are you gentlemen doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, very well, thank you, Chris. We must sound exactly alike, mustn't we?
Yes, very similar. And of course, you look very similar as well, of course. But guys, thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to meeting you both at the conference and hearing your presentations. These are going to be some very intriguing presentations. First, let's start with Ronald. Tell us a little bit, first, the title of your presentation and what it's going to be about.
It's called The Digital Demon, and it's based on a book I recently have had published by Philip Mantle, and it's to do with an experience I had back in 1982, an abduction, as they refer to it as, along with some sightings of UFOs. Now, this is what led me into the subject many years later, because when you're shoved down the rabbit hole, you can't climb back out easily. So I left it. I mean, the 1982 abduction was a long time ago, but I left it until I had hopefully put some of the pieces of the complex jigsaw puzzle together to form some kind of picture. It also delves into the famous Roswell crash of 1947 and of a theoretical idea I have based on it. Not the incident itself, but the way it was presented. So that opened up a can of worms for me in terms of the possibility, a possibility. It also delves into asking what these aliens might well be, not tainting them all with the same brush, of course, but it's interesting to speculate on some of them, especially the darker realms. So my book, The Digital Demon, highlights or illustrates the darker realm of these aliens.
Very cool. All right. Well, Philip, tell us the title of your presentation and what's going to be all about.
It's about the Greys and a theoretical application that I was credited with back in 1996. And since then, I've been trying to draw parallels in understanding just what we're dealing with, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, as we understand it, see the UFO subject as nuts and bolts in nature. However, the experience that I had back in 1989 was anything but, and I spent then many, many years trying to put the pieces together. And what we've discovered, theoretically speaking, because everything is, you know, under theoretical debate, nothing can be proven here, but it just goes to show that perhaps the Greys are far more than actual spacemen or a certain faction of them, and how it is that they're able to come through solid matter, why it is that they're interested in reproduction for a species that themselves cannot reproduce. And this also brings into the equation with my theoretical dynamics areas of the soul, human consciousness, and the bigger question of what we as a species represent. Because a lot of the time I think we're missing a large part of the puzzle and not truly establishing what we as humans are and why it is that these so-called specters are interested in us. So my talk will be centered very much around these very radical theoretical models. And I'm really excited to be able to draw parallels upon certain aspects of the phenomena.
Now, I have a couple of questions. We'll start with Ronald with the answer, and then we'll go to Philip. For each of you, were most of the experiences that you've had positive experiences?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't positive for me at all. You know, when people stand back after a while and then they realize that it might well have been positive, this was not positive for me. It was very negative. I've tried to see the good in what I've been observing or recording, but I just can't. But as I said, I'm not tasting them all with the same brush. It is what I've had to deal with, and the avenue it's taken me or drawn me down towards the darker elements of these ETs.
Very, very interesting. Now, what about you, Philip? How has your experience has been?
Well, my experience back in 1989, the what I would call the abduction, was negative. But having said that, the experience itself has opened something, I believe, within the psyche. And a lot of people do report that when they've had an experience, whatever kind, whether negative or positive, that these attributes, these mental attributes, start to open up. Areas of the mind that were previously closed. And so, you know, although I had what I term a negative experience, I've been working with some other researchers in trying to establish just what happened, why it happened, and where these beings came from. And I think it's really fascinating because both my brother and myself, we're open to all forms of speculation and debate. Nothing can be proven. But what is interesting is that I believe that with regards to the phenomena, we have to go outside our comfort zone, especially where the physical nuts and bolts hardware is concerned. And I've argued repeatedly, you know, where are the aliens? Because in essence, we have amazing photographic and film footage of the genuine cases of UFOs that are in our skies and have been reported. But when it comes to the aliens, it's a very different story. And perhaps there is a reason for this, because we may be looking at something that is what we would call interdimensional, as opposed to the actual physical space travel that we're used to. So we're looking into these areas of speculation, and it must be said, it is very fascinating.
It is. And I know, Philip, you're going to be speaking about the Greys, but I'd like you both to field this question. Do you think that the Greys are some type of biological robot or AI controlled entities? I've heard this a lot from different contactees and researchers.
I wouldn't be at all surprised myself if they were engineered, if there was a race or intelligence vastly beyond ours, which we're discussing. Then, of course, just as we send probes or robots to Mars to act as our eyes and ears, they would build men to visit us and to observe us. So I'm highly of the opinion that they have been possibly engineered. I can't be certain, of course, no one can, but I'm under the impression they've been very cleverly manufactured.
And what are your thoughts on that, Philip?
Well, my brother and I have different views with regards to the Greys. I mean, it's interesting that we're dealing with a species that themselves cannot reproduce. And they are interested, are they not, in reproduction? And we hear this so many times. And it is possible that I believe that perhaps we're looking at some form of species that has cloned itself. And through the process and the application of cloning has literally cancelled themselves out of creation. This is where elements of the human soul and consciousness, and also those uncomfortable areas of the afterlife, a continuation of what we represent on a spiritual nature, have to be brought into the equation. The Greys are interested in what we represent as individuals, as a reproductive species. And this may afford us some answers that I've been looking into with regards to what the Greys may, their intentions may be. And this opens up an area that, you know, because we've tried to contain everything in a small box for so long, we have to, as I argue, go outside of our comfort zone into areas of what we represent, what life represents, the great beyond, and the problems, the inherent problems of cloning. So, you know, as I said before, I'm open to all forms of speculation because this is a very dangerous subject to get involved in because people have their own ideas, but we are allowed to speculate.
That's what I like about being as twins, as we have different viewpoints on them.
Yes, it's definitely. That's great. Yeah. It's a great aspect. Now, to close out, gentlemen, I'd like to get your thoughts on the modern disclosure that's happening right now, that's coming out of, you know, the Pentagon, mainstream media, you know, especially in the United States. I'm not sure if it's the same in the UK as, you know, they're trying to push this kind of slow drip disclosure. But what do you think about what's going on, especially here in the United States with that?
I think they've been very lucky in having this material leaked, certainly the Tic Tac and others. One would gather that it does come from higher source. I don't think so. I think this has been leaked by very high ranking people, but not the governments. I don't believe they wish for us to have disclosure. I don't believe it will come from them, but we will have it eventually, perhaps from the beings or the aliens themselves. But as for disclosure as a whole, no. Not as far as I believe, no.
No, I don't either, because, you know, okay, so let's say that we're going to have disclosure. Everyone on the planet's going to be told that aliens and UFOs exist. They're a reality. Whatever form or wherever they come from, whatever theory you have, the problem will be not just about disclosing the reality of these alternate forces or intelligences, but how then are you going to explain about the continuous period of abductions and just what we're dealing with. It's going to open up a can of worms, and it doesn't just sit with, okay, so UFOs and aliens are real. This is going to open up a whole new area of really deep investigation, and a lot of trauma is going to be felt with that. So it's really good that, you know, we've had the Navy coming forward to acknowledge that they've actually been in the presence of these UAPs, as they call them, or what were UFOs. And, you know, a lot of people, good people around the world, the genuine people who have also seen them. But I think we've got a long way to go before disclosure is actually achieved. I really believe that.
I would just add that, as Philip has just said, the people would be also curious about the cattle mutilations and abductions, being abducted without consent.
Yes.
The anger of that. So how would disclosure pan out if they're armed with this knowledge already that they're being snatched at night by these elusive beings?
Yes.
It's a very complicated and sensitive idea.
Yes. Definitely is, and we're living in fascinating times right now with everything happening. And gentlemen, thank you for stopping by today. I'm very much looking forward to meeting you both at the Laughlin UFO Conference and hearing your awesome presentations.
Thank you, Chris, and it's awesome to talk to you, and we're looking forward to meeting all of you at the wonderful conference. Indeed, it is such an honor to be present there and to, you know, listening to all the other speakers and their thoughts and ideas, which we find fascinating.
Yes, very grateful indeed. It'd be lovely to meet you all. And also, as Philip said, to hear other people's testimonies and their views. I think that's what's important with these wonderful conferences is ideas.
Definitely so. And thank you both again for stopping by today. And we will see you all in Laughlin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I want to welcome Colin Wolford. He is a UFO researcher of some 30 years. He has a particular interest in UFO crash retrievals, aliens, and the crop circle phenomenon. He has given lectures on the connection to art through films and music and the UFO subjects, as well as the alien autopsy conspiracy. Colin, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hey, Chris. How's it going over there in the States?
It's going pretty good. As good as it can be with all the madness going on, you know.
Yeah.
Things seem to be kind of slacking up a bit, but you never know what could happen with that. But definitely looking forward to meeting you at the conference. I had a great time with you last year at the Laughlin UFO Conference. I know this year is going to be even better, and you're going to have an amazing presentation.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about decoding Star Wars. And obviously, you know, if you've not, I think you have to be from another planet if you've never heard what Star Wars is. But, you know, just for even in case you have literally just been born, or you know, you're not familiar with it. Obviously, Star Wars is like, it's like a space opera that was first came, it was a creation of George Lucas, a great visionary, I guess, in the same sort of mold of people like Tolkien and you know, J.K. Rowling, you know, these people, great art will always bring out higher truths to it. And obviously Star Wars was a massive, you have to look back at the history of science fiction, and a lot of people involved in the UFO subject may be, or rather people who are only interested in science fiction. I do find science fiction as a good bridge to the UFO subject. But yeah, Star Wars was released on May 25th, 1977 in the United States. It actually didn't come over to the UK until like some 6 months after that a period of time. But it changed the world in so many ways because it's brought up such a huge, I mean, it's still one of the highest grossing movie franchises of all time, of course. And there's much debate about the, you know, the prequels, the sequels, but I kind of be addressing most of that. But really the main trilogy, which is like that period of Star Wars, A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and its connection with the UFO subject, which, you know, it sounds like an obvious thing, maybe, or maybe not so obvious for people, because obviously people don't think that there would be a connection to the UFO. So, but really, in hindsight, how can there not be? Because, you know, even the name itself implies a war amongst the stars, and you only have to look at things like them, you know, the Sumerians, the story of, what's interesting is, you know, like Zachariah Sitchin, literally a year before Star Wars came out, was bringing out his book The 12th Planet, which dealt with the Anunnaki. And I guess one of the main parts of my talk will be I'll be referring to how that was encoded into the Star Wars films with, you know, the character Anakin Skywalker. And there's a lot more to talk about that sort of issue. A lot of this research I actually done some came to me like some 20 years ago, believe it or not. So it's not something I knew, although I've never given this talk, but obviously in America, and I've only done like a couple of talks here in the UK about it since a couple of years ago. But there's a lot more to Star Wars than meets the eye, especially in regards to the UFO subject, its connection to some of the more well-known different star nations. I would say if you're interested in things like the Pleiadians, the Sirians, and I'll be presenting that, and also a number of codes that I've found encoded into parts of the films, which are relevant not just to today, but their past and also our future, which I'm going to make people who attend this talk at the UFO Mega Conference aware of, and I think you'll find it very interesting.
Is that something that you think that is prevalent throughout all movies? When you're talking about, you know, it seems like these creators of this artwork are given profound information somehow through, you know, whether it's just their own creativity or they're getting these downloads, or possibly, you know, I've heard rumors that these big time Hollywood producers have connections to the CIA and you know, these different factions, shadowy factions that give them information on what to put out there. What are your thoughts about that?
That's very interesting. Yeah, I'm sort of, regarding the CIA connection, I'm a bit skeptical on that. So I do feel like these, as you say, is a more general download, and that people are, in a way, it's the same sort of thing that people get through music or writing a book. You know, it's a form of channeling for me. So you can argue about where they're getting this information from. Is it past lives? Are they actually in touch with something from behind the veil that is actually given the ideas for these stories? But, you know, I just find that these are works of art. You know, it's like Shakespeare. I mean, it's the equivalent of Shakespeare for today for many people. And even if you haven't got an interest in UFOs, then you could be drawn to Star Wars. I've always wondered why, you know, more people, I do see it as a good connection that, you know, like you have this cosplay thing in America, which is huge. And there is a kind of bridge even here. Like sometimes we'll have conferences which will have some props from sci-fi films, but I find it interesting that there's a much stronger link than maybe people will realise. But yeah, there's definitely something that they're in touch with, and they're bringing forth higher truths basically through their works of art, and not just Star Wars, of course. I mean, I don't want to sort of, you know, because I know there's a huge amount of interest from Star Trek with the whole Gene Roddenberry, and if you're familiar with him sitting in on things like the he did that book. He was inspired to sit in on these sessions for The Only Planet of Choice, which people may be familiar with, you know, and Buharich and all these characters. So there's also that aspect of ETs in, of course, Star Trek, and some of the other great ones I should mention, Babylon 5, if people have ever watched Babylon 5, which is pretty amazing for me. Well, actually, it's arguably one of my favorite TV series, sci-fi. And the connections there with ufology, again, is fascinating. Things like Stargate. I've just been watching, and I have never watched it before, and I'm not a massive Star. I've seen all the Star Trek films, but I've just been watching, by synchronicity, a bit of Star Trek Enterprise, the third season of that. And there's very much some interesting things in there I could talk about as well. But yeah, Star Wars, whereas mainly where my main talk will be at, and maybe we'll have some questions about other sci-fi related stuff at the end there if people want to talk about that.
Do you find that through a lot of these films and even modern day films about, you know, ETs and abductions and even, you know, aliens taking over the planet, that they're trying to they seem to be portraying ETs as a threat to humanity. Do you see that as a kind of recurrent theme where these ETs are somewhat of a threat to us?
I would say more on the standalone films, like things like Independence Day, which I did find very sort of offensive and sort of xenophobic to that sort of alien sort of interaction. But the real story arcs and things like Babylon 5, Star Trek, you know, the overall trilogy of Star Wars, and even bits in the prequels, and even, you know, the sequels, I find it much more exhilarating because there's a much more depth there. Whereas, yeah, some of these, you'll usually find the more xenophobia, alien attacks type things or in one-off films, with maybe the exception being like films like The Daily Earth Stood Still, which is obviously seen as one of the great sci-fi films in regards to giving a message out regarding, you know, the UFO subject. But yeah, sadly, there is still that whole horror thing. And there's actually a prior, if anyone's commenting while I'm wearing this T-shirt, you might realise what that connection is to the Star Wars. But yeah, there is always the element that there is sort of a fear with beings from other world. And obviously for many people who do see these things, it can be quite a shocking thing. So I'm not trying to get away from, you know, the magnitude of seeing spacecraft or indeed extraterrestrials, because it can be quite a shocking experience for human beings, you know. So, but yeah, definitely the spin, something I'm very wary of, things like false flag events, potential. You get all that stuff about Project Bluebeam, and it's a concern, and I do think there's a validity to that concern, and especially with what's happening now with, you know, what's been going on with the Pentagon and all sorts of various videos being released. We're certainly living in very interesting times, but maybe what I'm going to be saying and others with the art aspect will actually make people feel a bit more safer and secure, and that there are benevolent ETs and positive things happening out there. That's not also to say that there aren't sort of negative ETs as well, of course.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, how modern day disclosure is kind of taken off, and we're seeing a lot of stuff coming from the mainstream media, even our own government, the Pentagon, about UFOs, you know, saying, oh, yeah, these things are real and they've been around. Do you think that there is some kind of nefarious agenda coming from them? Because it's very odd that it's all happening now and all of a sudden.
It is. I kind of feel like there is two factions almost. I do feel like, you know, the talk of a, you know, space force is can be seen as a positive thing, but at the same time, you have to be wary that I do kind of feel like there's a big power struggle going on, and it's kind of strange now that so many people in positions of authority are now talking about it. So clearly, there's either an attempt maybe to deceive people, or maybe, you know, possibly those people maybe changed, or maybe they've been influenced by ET groups now to sort of, maybe they've been given a timeline. That's something I've always thought, that maybe we're on some sort of benign, positive timeline. And I do believe actually in the next 10 years, we're going to see some amazing revelations. We've got to be wary, Chris, of, you know, whatever they call it, you know, the military, the deep state or whatever, people trying to manipulate, you know, especially with what's happened last year, you know, with this pandemic and things. We should always be questioning everything, really. Never, don't accept anything you're told. Maybe turn off your TV and come to more conferences like the UFO mega conference, maybe.
Definitely. Maybe, yes,
you'll find out more truth there than you will sat at home watching TV. I know that much.
Yes, and you'll definitely have a lot better time and be surrounded with better company. Definitely. Colin, I'm so looking forward to meeting you at the conference. That's going to be June 6th through 12th in Laughlin, Nevada. It's going to be such an amazing time.
I might bring my little friend around as well, you know.
Yeah, you got to bring him. You got to bring the Yoda. All right, Colin. Well, thank you for stopping by today, and I will see you in Laughlin along with all of you, too. This year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference is the world's largest. It's going to feature 35 of the world's most incredible scientists, researchers, and contactees, and they're going to be presenting the most incredible information and disclosures over 7 days. There will always be only one presentation at a time, so you don't have to miss anything. You can now register for the full week, for a half week, or even by the day or session. And not only is there going to be over 35 amazing presentations, you're going to get a Skywatch, you get to meet and greet with all these amazing presenters, exclusive film screenings, and much more. Go to the website LaughlinUFOMegaconference.com right now and register. Last year's conference was awesome. It was absolutely amazing. And this year's is going to be even better. So join us for an incredible 7 days of education and disclosure. The Laughlin UFO Mega Conference.